morning to us for the 6th Sunday of the week. And it's the story of the blind man. It's a very strange, this gospel is a very strange event. We are used to seeing our Lord Jesus Christ heal people by laying his hands on them, or, you know, by a word, or by, you know, by simple means. But this morning we saw something very, very strange. Our Lord Jesus Christ did something totally different to the norm. He got some clay, and you can imagine, you know, some clay together, and he spat on it. It seems very odd. Why would the Lord do something like that? And normally he would put his hands on somebody and he would heal him. But this time it was different. He got some clay, he spat on it, and he started to put this clay on the eyes of this person. What are you doing, Lord? You know, for a blind man, for something like that to happen, you would think, is he trying to make fun of me? You know, putting clay on my eyes, spitting on my eyes, putting clay on my eyes. I mean, if it was a blind man who was sitting there and somebody went up to him and put clay on his eyes, you'd think he's making fun of him. But there was a difference, because this man was born without eyes. So we see the Lord today creating eyes. So we see him as the creator, the one who creates eyes, the one who created us. And this shows us the proof of his divinity, the power of his divinity. And he did it in his being incarnated as man to come to us to show us who I am. I am the creator. I'm the one who created everything. I created you, created every part of you. But one thing this man said, he probably did know who he was, because he knew his voice. He knew his sweet voice. That's why he allowed him to touch him. He allowed him to create these eyes for him. Because a lot of people, when they're blind, they know voices very well. They know who they come from, who's this voice and who's that. And I remember Hadi Kadayani, who was a deacon in Egypt, and he was taught by a blind ma'alim. You know, in Egypt, the ma'alim is always blind, you know, and he has to be blind. Even if he's not blind, and he has to wear glasses. And ma'alim that can really, like, he was blind from, you know, birth, but he had this young ear to know every single voice of his students. So this deacon was telling me, he said, his whole group, and he would say, so and so, you did it wrong. How did he know that? Because his ear was tuned to the voice of the person. But a lot of people, when they're blind, their ears are very well tuned to the sound of people. And this is what happened this morning in this gospel. That this blind man was tuned to the sweet voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sweetness of his kindness and compassion, that he was able to create those eyes for him to see. And this morning we see something so beautiful, that they asked this man, you know, what happened to you? What did he do to you? And he said one thing, and this is a prayer that we can always use. A prayer that we can use. He said, I only know one thing. That I had no eyes, but he made me have eyes. He made me see. That is enough. I don't care what happens. He made me see. That's all I know. And this is a prayer that we can pray to the Lord. Lord, you are the one who makes me see. There's no one else but you that gives me the light of my life. Today you made me see everything clear in my life. I was far away from you. I was blinded by many things. But you make me see the truth of everything, Lord. It's a prayer. We can pray it in our personal prayers. I only know one thing, that you make me see. He made me see. I see everything clearly. I see the beauty of everything in life. You washed my sins, Lord. You're the one who created new eyes for me, Lord. A new heart, a new beginning. Everything is new with the Lord. And that's why when we come to the Lord and we are drawn into the Lord, Everything becomes new and becomes beautiful. Could you imagine this man today, when his eyes were opened, for the first time he would have seen a tree, for example. And the beauty of a tree, or the beauty of anything that was around him. You know, living for many years without seeing, but all of a sudden you see something that you've never seen before. How beautiful will that be? And that's what the Lord does to us. That we may be blinded so much to many things in our lives, but the Lord can make us see the beauty of things always. And that's why we should always rely on the Lord to open our eyes always and to make us see the beautiful things around us and to be always positive in our life and to relate to everything that is beautiful to the Lord. Everything that is beautiful is to the Lord. We don't know the name of this person, which I think is, I'm sure his name is. And that's why we find that the Gospels, the last four Gospels of the Lent, we do not know the name of these people. We don't know the name of the prodigal son. Do we know the name of the prodigal son? Do we know the name of the Samaritan? Do we know the name of the paralytic? Do we know the name of the blind? We don't know any of their names. So what is the church trying to tell us, or the Gospels are trying to tell us? That you, every one of us, is one of those persons. So we are replacing their names with our names. We are the prodigal son. We make so many mistakes in our life. We are all prodigal. We make mistakes, but we have what? We have a father who's embracing us. A father who's willing to accept us. No matter what happens, the Lord is accepting us. We have the Samaritan who is thirsty for satisfaction, but never found satisfaction. That she was looking for the worldly water, but the Lord gave her the living water. Him, himself, the living water. And that's what we see. We see the man, the Lord who embraced her with his love. He came to her to give her the living water. And today the Lord gives us that living water. He gives us this true satisfaction. We see the paralytic who was for many years, no one to put him in the pool. No man, he had many friends, he had lots of friends, but no one was going to satisfy him. No one was able to put him in the pool, but only the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who healed him. And today we see the blind man, we are all blind. We see the Lord who is able to heal us today and to open our eyes. Therefore, congratulations to all of us. Congratulations to all of us that the Lord has an open bosom for every single one of us. Congratulations for your Father has forgiven us. The Lord has forgiven us. The Lord has given us healing. And he will continue to give us healing. And today he has given us the light. So when we come to the Lord and know the Lord, he will give us the light. The church tells us that you are all of these people. You are the paralytic, you are the blind, you are the Samaritan, you are the prodigal. The good news is that the Lord came to the world for every kind of person for us. And this is something we have to understand. Now we're towards the end of the Lent, we need to understand why Jesus came. Why the Lord Jesus Christ came to us. Why did he incarnate for us? Why did he come? Because he came for every kind of person, you and me, the blind, the paralytic, the prodigal, the ones who are far away, the Samaritan who is thirsty. The Lord came to incarnate personally for every single one of us. We can also ask the Lord, why did you come, Lord? He would come, he would say, I came so that I could put you into my bosom and hold you in my arms. And that's a beautiful picture that we need to understand in these Gospels. The Lord is embracing these people. The Lord is holding every one of them in his arms. Why did you come, Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Samaritan woman had no one to truly love her. I came to show her true love. Why did you come, Lord Jesus Christ, we can ask. I came because the paralytic had no one to put him in the water. I came personally, incarnated personally, so that I can put him personally and heal him personally. Why did you come, Lord Jesus Christ? So I came to create new eyes for this man. I came personally to show him that I can do that. Why did you come, Lord Jesus Christ? I came personally, my son, specially for you and me. The Lord came specially for you and me to put us in his bosom, to touch us, to love us, to truly love us and heal us from all of our problems and our sufferings and our temptations. During the fast, we really see the revealing of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ and why the Lord came. The Lord came for us with all of our faults. He came to us personally. We have many faults. We have many faults in us. But he came for us personally so that he can embrace us. We are always longing for someone to be close to. And then I get that we're thirsty for people to be around us. We're always wanting emotional healing, emotional cleansing. We are in need always of emotion, for people to be close to us, whether we need to be embraced by our parents or by our family members, a husband and wife, or even a person who's in isolation. He needs hod nikeda, you know. He needs a person, daemon, to be embraced. But today we see the Lord Jesus Christ incarnated to satisfy us so that he can embrace us in sickness and holds us. And you know, the psalm says, one of the psalms says, I exalt you, Lord, for you have held me. Imagine in your life, he's holding you in your life. You know, I have embraced you, I exalt you, Lord, for you have embraced me, or you've held me. The Lord has incarnated to us so that he can embrace us. We feel the joy of the Lord in our life. Yesterday we went to Cairns, and there was a beautiful group. We were serving them, and it was a combination of the students from Cairns and students from Townsville. And there was about 60 or 50 people, and it was such a beautiful day. We broke up in some groups together. And the girls the boys were Babuna Thomas, and the girls were with me. And there was a young girl, Keda, who shared a story with us. This young girl is a student in Townsville, and she had an accident, a car accident, when she was 4. And Taban, she was partially paralyzed in her hips, and Taban, she walks. She finds it very difficult to walk. And now she's in her 20s and studying medicine. But she was sharing with us, you know, a lovely story together that truly touched our hearts. She said one day, I couldn't walk. You know, she was sitting in her room, she was in such pain. And she sort of like pleaded to the Lord, and you know, in her suffering. And she said, Lord, you know, I'm in this pain and I don't know what to do. I'm in this pain, you know, like feeling of despair. And she said, all of a sudden, together, she said, I felt the Lord's grace upon me. When I was praying, I felt the Lord's touch more or less on me. And that I felt this inner joy and happiness. And it was so moving because we could feel her emotion. We can feel what she would be going through in her life. But she found the true joy in Christ, the true satisfaction, the embracement of the Lord, who does not leave his children, whether disabled or whether they're far away. He never leaves them, but he embraces them and hugs them and holds them and never leaves them. If you've gone through any troubles in your life, if you've gone through any tribulation in your life, the Lord will embrace you. The Lord will hold you. The Lord will not leave you. And rest assured to know that and have faith and belief in that. I heard a story from Abuna Buddhist George also, which was really, really nice. He said that this man came to him. He's 65. He lost his wife. And he felt lonely. He felt really lonely in his life. You know, when you've been living with your wife for many years and you lose her, There has to be loneliness. We're all humans. You know, we have loneliness and emotion. So one night he was in his bed and he felt really missing his wife. Yeah. And he said, he's a very spiritual man. And he said, he cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, please hold me. Go ahead, missing something really dear for him. Please hold me. And he said to Abuna, as soon as I said that, I felt an arm touch me together once. What, three times? And he thought maybe once, okay, maybe it was a pillow that touched him or something. But then he felt a second time. A book fell on my shoulder. But then he felt the third one. He said, la, this is God. This is Christ. And he felt this warmth and embrace together. Adam, I'm with you. I am with you. And this is the beautiful thing, that when we long for the Lord will not delay. He will not delay from us. So today the Lord came for us to enjoy a personal touch from Him, to embrace us, to touch our eyes, to touch us, to feel that the hands of, we feel His warmth, the warmth of His hands, the sweetness of His breath, and the beauty of His words. The warmth of His hands, the sweetness of His breath, and the beautiful words that gives us comfort that the Lord gives us. I want to be united with you today with the blood, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Today the Lord gave us a gift. Today our Holy Communion that we receive is the gift of the embracing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is going to touch you today when you have the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord is going to live in you. The Lord is going to embrace you today. You're going to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the gift that God has given us. This is the embrace. This is what the Lord is doing. He's holding us for His body and blood of Jesus Christ today. So beautiful, the Songs of Songs. Have you ever read the Songs of Songs? You would think that this is a love story. You know, a lot of people talk about it in a worldly sense, but it was a relationship between us and God. The Songs of Songs are the most beautiful words of love. And so romantically, you know, a romantic story between the human soul and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says something beautiful in the Songs of Songs. It says, my beloved is mine and I am his. When I found him whom my soul loves, I held him and would not let him go. I go, I get a message. It's like a little child embracing her father, and she doesn't want to let go. Loves him. She doesn't want to let go of him. This arms of the Lord that does not, you don't want to let go. The embracing like a little child. And this is the communion we have today. Today, when we have communion, this is the love story between us and God. That He's embracing you. Think of it today, that today's communion is an embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is taking you. He's embracing you because you need Him. We need Him, and He wants to give us Himself. We are hungry for Him. We know, I was telling you a little story together before I finished. There was a lady came to me recently, and she's been far from the church because she had to be away from the church, and she wasn't because of a marriage situation. But she's been away from church for about 3 years. But she said, one thing I miss, Abuna. I miss having communion in the church. I miss that beautiful, it's different in the other church. It's not like your church, not like this church. It's not like, you're talking about Coptic church, and she was in another denominational church. But she misses having communion. Sometimes we take that communion for granted. You'll only feel, you feel that the value of having the embrace is when you don't have it for a long time. When you're in isolation in another country or somewhere like that. Or you have had a chance for a long time because of circumstances. That's when you feel, you know, what we've taken is so valuable. But we take it because we take it for granted because we have it every second day, every second week, or whatever. But those who don't have it and they can't have it because of reasons, They long for it and missing it because that's the embrace. We're not embraced by God. When we're not embraced by God, we feel separated from God. We are focused, Lord, of you coming to incarnate to touch us, to heal our blindness, to give us the life, and to embrace us for your Holy Communion. May the Lord give us this beautiful chance today to embrace us for his Holy Communion. And make us enter with him in the next few days into the glory of the Passion Week. I think that as well, Gabe, really to focus on all the things that happened during that. Forget about if I haven't fasted properly or not. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about if you haven't fasted properly. Don't worry about if you've sinned. Don't worry about if you've done anything wrong. Halas, it's finished. But let's start a new page today. Forget about it. It doesn't matter. Look at him. He's not standing there with a whip waiting to whip you because you had milk or you had a bit of cheese or butter or whatever. Don't worry about that, okay? But let's start anew. Let's enter the Passion Week and remembering God's grace, God's love, the Lord Jesus Christ touching, embracing, and forgiveness that is endless. The Lord's forgiveness that is endless. As in Mishkeda on Palm Sunday with the Lord, if you may imagine, Palm Sunday would be the day that all these people who are in the procession, the blind, the paralytic, the prodigal son, the Samaritan woman, all these people who did wrong things in their lives, all of us, we're entering the procession towards the heavenly Jerusalem. Right in each Yom Kippur, each day, understanding what the Lord went through, his suffering, his suffering, we crucify our sins with him, and then we're raised with him again. Next few weeks, this week and next week, to be focused, inshallah. We forget about our sins, forget about our problems, forget about everything. Bring it to the Lord. Have communion today, be embraced by him, and enjoy the next few weeks, please. Glory be to God.